This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Brady Carlson in for Virginia Prescott. This Sunday, the average Super Bowl viewer will consume 1,200 calories worth of snacks like chili, chips, chicken wings, and pizza. That got us wondering, first, how is all that junk food only 1,200 calories? But also, what do professional cooks and foodies serve at their Super Bowl parties? Buffalo sauce bruschetta? Cheetos in truffle oil? To find out, Virginia Prescott spoke with cookbook author and educator Kathy Gunst. Her book, Notes from a Maine Kitchen, is a month-by-month guide of recipes inspired by the seasons.
I am classic. I don't watch football all year, but I wouldn't miss the Super Bowl because, like so many national holidays, and I think it really is that, it's all about the food for me.
Well, you know, this is interesting, Kathy. You came from New York. You live in New England. Who are you rooting for?
I'm really glad you brought that up because I've been kind of having a bipolar meltdown over this. I grew up rooting for the New York Giants. I am a New Yorker by birth, but I've lived in New England for over 30 years now. So I'll probably root for...
We won't let anyone know unless you get drummed out of Maine, unfortunately.
Except I will tell you this. In coming up with some very good food ideas, I've really tried to balance the New England influences with the New York influences.
Such as? Give us an example.
Okay, so for the Patriots fans, for the diehard New Englanders, a chowder. Make a big pot of chowder the day before. It always tastes better the next day. This is Maine shrimp season, rah-rah New England, right? So I have a wonderful haddock, shrimp, and Jerusalem artichoke chowder, which sounds like it might be hard, but it's not. Just rich, comfort food, wonderful. Fill some mugs up, throw some oyster crackers in, and you've got sort of this hearty meal in a mug or a bowl. And, you know, better than chips and dip, I think.
Do you serve chips and dip, though? Let's be honest.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what I do with that, okay? Like, I grew up on Lipton onion soup mix, that, you know, that dip that you make by sprinkling the packet in, which is kind of addictive and fabulous. But I like making my own version, so what I will do is sauté about 10 onions that I have still from the garden downstairs, some sweet ones, some red ones, some yellow ones, and let them cook for about an hour over super, super low heat. And then when they're really tender and buttery and just looking gorgeous, I throw in about a tablespoon or two of balsamic vinegar so they kind of glaze.
Caramelize a little.
And then you put that in with your sour cream and you're like, oh, that's what onion dip is supposed to taste like.
Okay, I'm with you so far.
Okay, thank goodness.
Well, how about your nod to New York? What are you doing to honor the New Yorkers?
Okay, well, as a New Yorker, I could go several ways. I might take a bagel and cut them really thin. So out of one bagel, I'll get four thin slices and make some little bagel pizzas with some really fresh mozzarella, sun-dried tomatoes or fresh cherry tomatoes, and make a kind of a nod to New York with a bagel pizza or deli food. You know, New York pretzels would be fun with deli mustard. You could also do a pizza, another classic Super Bowl food, but instead of traditional things for the New York fans, you could do smoked salmon or lox on it with a little bit of ricotta cheese, or do a deli pizza with bits of pastrami or corned beef. And then for the New England fans, fresh Maine crab meat. How about a lobster pizza?
So, you know, this is really a bipartisan kind of meal you're talking about.
That's
here.
My middle name, Virginia.
Okay, well, all right. What about the more down market things, the buffalo wings?
Okay, I don't know how this started where sitting on a couch watching football, you eat chicken wings. I just read on the internet, so it has to be true, that there will be over a billion chicken wings sold for Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh,
I mean, think of these chickens running around without their wings. And apparently,
I'd really rather not.
Well, that's to get people to try these new food. And apparently the price of chicken wings, because there's such a market for them this week, is up 52%. So I would say some of these other ideas might suit you better. But here's a really simple one, too, that will cost you virtually nothing and is another popular food. Popcorn, great food for watching TV. Doesn't have to be a big high-calorie thing. So I like to do different variations of them. Like I'll make a spicy turmeric butter and then sprinkle shredded cheddar cheese on the cooked popcorn, or I'll do a thyme and rosemary and coarse pepper on top of the popcorn with some grated Parmesan cheese. But that's really fun and costs almost nothing and is a lot healthier than having those dips and chips.
I'm glad you mentioned cost. Our producer, Rebecca, was talking about having people over for the playoffs, made a big, huge batch of chili and, you know, for 20 people and ended up spending $70. I mean, it's a bit of a hit to take if you're inviting everybody over for Super Bowl Sunday. How do you keep the cost down?
Well, I think some of these ideas, you know, certainly the popcorn, you could make a gigantic pot of the chowder I talked about earlier, even with haddock, which is relatively inexpensive, and Maine shrimp, which are a steal, and these Jerusalem artichokes, which are in season now. That would be a wonderful thing to do. You know, it really runs the gamut. You certainly could make, for the New England fans, lobster nachos or lobster tostadas and spend a fortune, or you can go the other way.
Kathy, I'm going to admit to you right now that I am not looking forward to the Super Bowl game so much. But I do happen to know that Sunday is also the day that Downton Abbey is on PBS.
Okay, so my conflict now between New York versus New England just completely
now becomes America versus Britain.
I am addicted to Downton Abbey. I absolutely adore it, and I will be switching back and forth. I mean, I think the best part of the Super Bowl are the commercials anyway. And this year we get Madonna.
Right? So there you've got your British thing, well, sort of British thing.
You could
covered.
Go from Downton Abbey to Madonna and feel good about yourself that you've covered everything.
That was Virginia Prescott speaking with cookbook author and educator Kathy Gunst. Her most recent book is Notes from a Maine Kitchen. Add a little panache to your Super Bowl party menu by making Kathy's popcorn and chowder for yourself. The recipes are at wordofmouthradio.org.
What's up with you?
Nothing. Watching the game, having a butt.
True. True.
What's up? What's up?
Yo, who's that?
Yo, you're picking the phone.
Hello?
What's that?
What's
up? Raise your hand if this is something you'd say, I don't really watch football, but I like the ads and maybe the halftime show. With bazillions of viewers watching sans TiVo, advertisers are pulling out all the stops for the big game. They're rolling out their most creative, edgy, and hopefully memorable campaigns. This year, though, Super Bowl advertisers are adding a new offensive move to their playbooks, digital integration. Here to explain is Sean Owen, CEO of the marketing and ad agency WeDo. Sean, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you, Brady. It's good to be here.
Just to explain, when we say digital integration, we don't just mean companies put their web address or their Facebook URL at the end of the commercial. What exactly are they doing?
No, actually, it's quite a strong movement right now, and the term is actually second screen interactive TV, which essentially means that anybody that's sitting there watching the game on their regular television, they're probably interacting with some mobile device or tablet. And studies show that 60 to 70% of the people this weekend will actually be interacting with a second device while watching the game.
So let's hear an example of that. Coca-Cola, which is always a big name in Super Bowl ads, how do they do this sort of second screen thing?
So Coke's been doing a great job with digital. They have a lot of objectives, obviously, when they're taking on this type of advertising. They're trying to build their loyalty, gain new friends on Facebook, and that type of thing. Coke has actually brought back their iconic polar bears, the ones that everybody loves, and they've created an app that runs within Facebook throughout the game. People can interact with the polar bears through a polar bear party. You have to sign up for the app through Facebook. As of this morning, they already had 20,000 people attending the party and 63,000 who were invited through friends. And you'll be able to interact, ask questions, get feedback, all with the Coke brand.
And Coke has always been sort of, they've had a good reputation for doing Super Bowl ads. But another staple, Budweiser, is back. And Budweiser could use a boost. There was a recent survey that was featured in Forbes that said it came in dead last among game time advertisers when it comes to consumer engagement and returns on expensive ad time. So what is Budweiser doing to reverse this trend? Is they going to do the hashtag WhatsApp?
No, but that would definitely be funny. You're right. Anheuser-Busch especially has been, they relied more on visual creative, so using the horses or the frogs or something like that. This year, they're doing something really interesting. They're partnering with Shazam, which is a music recognition app. If you download it to your phone and you don't recognize a song that's on the radio and you turn on the app, it will identify the artist or the song. And almost 50% of the ads in the Super Bowl this year will be integrated with Shazam, so it's a very good app for somebody to download and have throughout the game. Essentially, while there's a commercial going on, and Bud is an example of it, they'll be playing music clips. If you hold your phone up and Shazam recognizes the clip, it will then prompt you to the right site. So it might be an offer to enter a sweepstakes. It may be a sign up for additional prizes, poll questions, so forth. And they'll be giving away some free music as well. But it'll be interesting to see the difference between the companies that are running it. Because with Pepsi, Walt Disney, Best Buy, all using Shazam this year, it'll be interesting to see all the digital interactions.
It seems, I wanted to come back to the second screen idea for a second, because what you're describing is pretty much what I thought it would be. People using smartphones and tweets and things anyway while watching the game. So if you're a company, you give folks a game or a contest, you can essentially stay in front of them longer than just the 30 or 60 seconds the TV spot is on. The question I have, though, is how well is this going to work? Or maybe it's, does it work for some companies and some brands better than others?
It really isn't brand specific or even category specific, but it is important to be creative in how you engage, because if you're just trying to push out information, obviously, through some interaction, it's not going to work. You'll find that enter-to-win sweepstakes are very popular. Anything that has kind of a currency going back to the consumer obviously always helps. But certainly, if they're really engaging on a more entertaining level, such as the polar bears, that has a value to the consumer. So they're really going to welcome that interaction, and they'll be more likely to keep engaging with it, as you said, after the game as well.
Sean, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Sean Owen is CEO of WeDo, a marketing and ad agency based in New Hampshire and New York. There's a link to WeDo's blog about Super Bowl advertising going digital, as well as a link to the Forbes article we mentioned at wordofmouthradio.org. Thanks so much for joining us today for this special Gridiron edition of Word of Mouth. And if you are planning on watching the Super Bowl or just the ads this Sunday, you can check out our Twitter feed at Word of Mouth. We will be live tweeting throughout the game. See, it's digital integration at work. You can also reach us anytime on our Facebook page, or you can leave a comment at our website, wordofmouthradio.org, where you can also listen to past segments. I'm Brady Carlson in for Virginia Prescott. This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio.
Word of Mouth is produced by Taylor Quimby,
Virginia Prescott, and senior producer Rebecca Lavoie, with oversight and direction from Abby Goldstein, NHPR's Vice President of Programming, and web support from Brady Carlson,
and Courtney Kenyon.
Andrew Perella gives technical support,
and Dan Colgan. Dan, the man, runs our board.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individual,
not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters.
Really, anybody else.
For information about the show, to listen to past segments, post a comment, or read our blog,
go to wordofmouthradio.org.
Or use the On Demand tab on the NHPR app.
You can join our community of listeners on Facebook at Word of Mouth Radio.
And you can follow us on Twitter at Word of Mouth.
Word of Mouth is a production.
Word of Mouth is a production.
Word of Mouth is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio.